Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, pop off, me and my clique put on. I'm like a young McMahon, I'm here to get your bitch off. Like I'm Ric Flair, little finger to the big boss. Man, aka police, cause I'm over your head like guitar. Chill these niggas, that's no problem. Chill these niggas, want no problem. That chopper body like one swag. I can't see you shot him like Sin Cara. Roll it up, but that shit loud. It ain't mine if that shit not. Ladies hate when I rip rude, but they in love with this Jake. It's like nah. Say hello to my python. I'm CM Punk with that mic, y'all. She go to sleep cause my pipe bomb. Winning, blessed I be hurting feelings. Niggas see Curtis Axe, so my rap is like Kurt Henning. In it, don't it? I'm such a charmer. Come crown Vic. Not talking whip, I'm thinking Lawler. Cause I'm royalty. But we talking cars, it's not a problem. Just bought two big bodies, call them Kamala and Umaga. What up? You're talking to the black guy. My gang real, but I ain't never been no vampire. Look at all that ice he got on. Bigger than that icy title. Bigger than my bill, man, cause I still feel like I'm flying Brian. Who high as I am? Who fly as I am? Life is a bitch, well you this bitch is more than life in China. Get it? Strong ass hoe. They can say they want that smoke. Well I'm Papa Shango. I'll be hopper playing low. Get the ganja, no steamboat. And I fly as a cross body, but I'm tired of saying so. So I do so with new producers and a slew of my latest verses. And a ruthless like Rusev move or be through with you niggas first. Get back to work. You're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the... Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. I'm too smart. I dare you niggas act fly. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Too thick in your eyes. I'm that guy. Hey, y'all. Something happened to me, something happened to you, okay? Hey, y'all. Don't look like no Daniel B where they seeing me every go.
Welcome to Wrestling X Factor Radio, ladies and gentlemen. Your host, Wayne Benitez, going solo tonight. Tommy Two Chips is taking a hiatus, so we will still continue with the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, we have a special guest representing the independent wrestling scene all over America. Give it up for Crayshaw.
Hey, what's going on, man? What's going on?
We good. We good. Everything's good. Welcome to Wrestling X Factor Radio. It's an honor to have you.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that so much, man.
Yes. Yes. Were you a wrestling fan growing up?
Oh, man, I was a big wrestling fan. I've been a wrestling fan all my life. You know what I mean? Been wanting to wrestle since I was like 4 years old. So now that I get to live this life, it's a dream come true for me.
That's awesome. Who do you idolize during that time watching it?
So when I first started watching wrestling, I really idolized like guys like Batista, you know what I mean? That was one of the first feuds that I really like got invested into with Batista and King Booker. And like I literally cried over that, you know what I mean? Then like later on in my life, probably like around like 7 or 8, it was like Jeff Hardy, because I was jumping off everything, you know, trying to swan pound bomb on everything.
Right. Do you have an athletic background before pro wrestling?
I do have an athletic background. I have an extensive athletic background. I ran track for 5 years. I did 100s, 200s, shot put, discus, anything, you know what I'm saying? But distance. I did not like distance running, you know what I'm saying? I got asthma. I don't play like that. I also played football for 2 years, and I did amateur wrestling for 1 year.
That's what's up. Also, who were your trainers breaking you in the wrestling business?
So I started off at the Nightmare Factory back when they were the One Fall Power Factory. I was trained by QT Marshall and Suge D, a.k.a. Pineapple Pete on AEW. And I feel like learning from them was probably one of the greatest things that I've ever done. And especially learning from Suge D, because he's somebody that I've seen outside of training for wrestling. And I'm like, he's a very, very gifted man, you know what I mean? And it was an honor to be taken under his wing and to learn, you know, the technician style from him. So,
that's what's up. Also, any memories of your first ever debut match?
My first ever debut match, I remember it was a tag match. I guess you could say before that I had a battle royal, but I don't really count that as, like, you know, a match for me. But it was a tag match, and it was me and Sean Christopher. He wrestles for New South. Shout out to him. Versus Duncan and Tyler Franks. They also wrestle for New South, and Duncan's one of my boys. Love him to death. And I remember that Duncan was going for a super kick, and in my mind, I was like, okay, protect your face. Put my hand up at first, then I just dropped my hand. I was like, I'll take it, you know what I'm saying? It's not gonna affect me in no way. Literally had a boot mark, like, across my cheek for a good week. And that's one of my favorite memories, because me and Duncan have so much chemistry in the ring. Like, we can literally, you know, rough each other up for real.
Awesome. I also noticed that you also work with, that was another good match. What is it like working with Chris Crump?
Oh, Chris Crump, he's a great guy. Chris Crump is very sound in the ring. He's very precise with his moves, and I think Chris Crump was a really, really fun opponent for me. He worked with me well. There's nothing I can say bad about that match, because Chris Crump did everything in his power to have me step my game up. Thanked him for that, you know, many a times. So Chris Crunk is awesome. I really think he's awesome.
Awesome. What kind of music you listen to while you preparing the train or in the gym or other places?
So this is the craziest thing. So my nutritionist, Carolyn, she also helps with the workouts when I go to the Nightmare Factory. I haven't been in a while, but I'll be back probably this month or next. But she helps with the workouts as well. And, like, literally anytime she sees me working out, and like she's wondering what I'm listening to. I'm always listening to R&B music. I'm always listening to 90s R&B, some Jodeci or something like that. I don't know what it is, but that gets me pumped up to work out more than like some rock music or some hip hop. So it's definitely 90s R&B for me.
Right. I'm taken away from mumble rap, so.
Man, look, they may be mumbling, they're making their money. Look, some of it is catchy, some of it is trash.
Right.
I just let them do them, you know what I mean?
Right. Also, you work with Tyler Colfert also. What is like working with him?
So Tyler Colfert is very much a charismatic. He's very into his persona, and I really like that about him. I really like Tyler. In the ring, of course, I'm like, okay, yeah, this guy, I'm gonna knock him off his horse. Or where he thinks he belongs, but as a wrestler, he's everything that a good wrestler starting out should want to be. He literally won wrestler of the year and most improved wrestler and all of that stuff because he worked to get to that point. So I definitely commend him for that. In that specific match, I actually ended up facing his goon Reynolds, and that was a pretty solid match as well. But you know what I mean. So he's gonna dominate. He's gonna show why he belongs. He's gonna have his crew, and he's gonna, you know, make sure that people know why he's one of the top wrestlers in Georgia.
Right. Also, you also had another matchup with recently with Trevor Ewan. How was that? Leon?
Yeah. So Trevor Ewan is, shout out to Wholesome Gang, first of all. Our CEO, Sugar Dunkerton, should be. Trevor is my brother-in-law. That's my guy, you know what I mean? And for us to have that match, for us to put on that type of match, that caliber of match, for his Peach State No Limit Championship at that, for us to put on that caliber of match, I am honored to go to war with him anytime, you know what I mean? Whether we're in a tag team or whether we're against each other, I'm honored to go to war with that man. He's an excellent person. He's a great person. He's the king of hell. You know what I mean? He's a king. He's another king, like me. You know what I'm saying? So it's all love and all respect to Trevor Young.
Definitely, the Georgia independent scene is so much talent over there, basically. Having that chance to be on a lot of major companies, going to major companies, and it's like it's they got top-notch independent wrestlers. What is it like watching your mentor Sugar D on AEW?
What was it like? I feel like it was inspiring to see someone who trained me and who basically mentored me and gave me my first real opportunity at making a name for myself in Georgia be on that type of level, because he's been at it for so long. And if anybody's deserving of that spotlight, of that type of attention, it's Shook. He's put in that work. He's a journeyman for real. Like, he's been all over the world. He's wrestled in the UK. He's you know, wrestled for major companies before. Like, he really deserves a spotlight, and me getting to see that process firsthand was really inspiring to me.
Yeah, he got tons of charisma and a lot, basically. I remember seeing his work also in Shakara, even in tournaments. He was amazing also, and even with the pro basketball gimmick, it worked with him,
right,
basically. And he even when talent, when he works with talent, it's like it's hard for them to track a smile and stuff. And when he's out there, basically, he's like hilarious. You would think that it's like Martin Lawrence in the ring, basically.
Right. Right. He's amazing. He's good at what he does, and that's why he's been able to do it for such a long time. And, you know, he's still in his prime. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
I've had a match with him at AWE before. My first real match in my career, and I'm pretty sure there'll be plenty more matches. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking forward to them.
Yes, another one that definitely deserves to be in a major company like WWE, Impact, or AEW, signed with one of them, definitely.
Definitely.
Yes. Do you have time to usually watch Impact, any of the promotions like WWE, Impact Wrestling, or Ring of Honor?
I usually don't have time to watch them live, but I do go back and study. I study modern wrestling, so I watch the latest episodes of AEW. I haven't recorded. I watch the latest episodes of NXT and Raw and SmackDown, all of those, Ring of Honor. I usually catch Ring of Honor on YouTube whenever I can, you know what I mean? Because I try to do as much studying as I can and try to better myself by watching and by going to training and by putting in the work. I try to do that constantly. I also go back and watch older matches, like older New Japan matches, or All Japan, you know, Noah matches. I watch all of those. So I watch mostly to study and entertain, but mostly study.
Right. It's just amazing, the New Japan, I mean, the Japan Dojo General, basically. It's like, that's the everyone wants to go to Japan to learn more of their craft and everything. And it's just amazing right there. It got a lot of wrestlers went over there to improve their added more skills and everything, even MMA.
And definitely before, as soon as I'm able to, I'm going to take an excursion to Japan and wrestle in Japan for a little while. I've definitely wanted to do that since I began my career, and I'm definitely going to fulfill that right there. I've heard many things about the New Japan Dojo. I know one of my favorite wrestlers runs the New Japan Dojo, Katsuyori Shibata, and it's harsh, but it's work. You know what I mean? It'll make you better, and then so. Yes. He definitely a good trainer and an athlete over there. The most attention over there, like Okada, basically, he's another good talent of New Japan. You have him. You have even Will Ospreay right there, and the way he took off like a rocket, being over there for several years now, and it basically paid off. Basically, his work rate and everything, and it's like it's a place to be right now, and they travel back and forth to the U.S. even with their New Japan USA shows, recruiting talent, or work. They have so much working relationships with AEW, Impact Wrestling now. I think they still work with Ring of Honor and they get in a close relationship with Major League Wrestling, and it's just amazing. They still looking for more, recruiting more U.S. talent every time they come here.
Right. Definitely. And if I could go to Japan and meet one person and maybe have a match, it would probably be the great Muta, Kenji Muta. Man, it's probably one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. So that's one good perk of going to Japan too.
Yes. Well, definitely one of the top legends over there, the great Muta, and he's basically amazing. When I seen him from the 80s down to the 90s and now, and he hasn't lost a step in the ring at all, basically.
Most definitely.
And yes, and it seemed like people were still trying to push for him to have a rematch with Sting, to do something with AEW. I don't mind seeing that again right there, to rekindle that feud from WCW.
Right. But then again, it's like, do we really want to see, you know, these guys are older, do you really want to see them getting back in the ring like that? You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm saying, definitely.
And I just remember doing that Madison Square Garden to see him a couple years ago, him and Jushin Thunder Liger, right in the in that rumble right there, and people really wanted to see them go work toe to toe with one another right there, and they had a little interaction because of Kenny King, and I was just hoping to see that match before Jushin Thunder Liger retire.
Right. But hey, sometimes your body just be like, it's time to hang up the boots. You know what I mean?
Right.
And Muta is Tampa right there, so he obviously still got some juice in his system. So I'm trying to get over there before it run out.
Right. Yeah, he definitely loved the business, and even have some even still have students also like some he discovered Sonata and others also. He's still recruiting and training
right,
young talent also for New Japan and All Japan.
Right.
definitely. I'd be honored to be a part of stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yes. Right. What's your thoughts of Bobby Lashley winning the WWE title as another black wrestler this time winning it?
I feel like, first of all, I'm proud. You know what I mean? I'm proud that they finally seen the worst in Bobby Lashley as champion. And for us to have another black champion is very honorable to me. But it's like, it should have been like this. You know what I mean? There's plenty of black guys that should have been WWE champion but never were. You know what I mean? I'm all about, you know, inspiring black youth and inspiring black people that are in this business and feel like they can't get ahead because of their skin color. I'm all about inspiring them and making sure that they know that they can do this. They can do what Bobby Lashley is doing right now.
Right. And he has so much of an MMA background also, and that makes him more, you know, that add to his wrestling skills also, doing his time in Impact Wrestling right there, and he had good matches over there, and he it elevated him to a, you know, a, he got better in the in ring and stuff, and he even cut the very good promos at Impact Wrestling right there, and I just want to see him also do the same with WWE also. Because MVP was over there with him in Impact Wrestling, and that's still a great chemistry right there, and a lot of people was like, you know, they were so pissed about the Hurt Business breaking up, and
oh man, I'm pissed about the Hurt Business breaking up. You know what I mean? Like MVP.
Right.
MVP, don't even get me started on MVP. MVP is the GOAT. He revived Bobby Lashley's career, Shelton Benjamin's career, Cedric Alexander's career, and the pathway that it was going. Like, literally, Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander were not on TV before MVP came in and showed them their worth. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I definitely commend MVP for that mission that he accomplished. And he was there for Bobby Lashley's TNA World Championship win, and he was there for his WWE Championship win. That is GOAT status if nobody knew what GOAT status was. That's what that is. MVP is literally the MVP.
Right. Basically, he can do it all in ring, even as an advisor to talent and stuff. He's he's simply amazing with that also, and he's another talent that's very good also that been all over the other companies like Japan and stuff, and he. It's like it was. I very like his promos. Even from Impact Wrestling, he get to say whatever he wanted, and
mm-hmm.
he even added that time when it was like the rats right there. And I remember he was watching him as a black man and seeing him and said, "Don't you know that?" thug is a new word for nigga.
Mm-hmm.
Right on the Impact Wrestling show right there, and it was golden right there. It was golden.
He's a fearless black man, and that's
right.
what we should aspire to be. We shouldn't fear, you know what I'm saying, to fight against hate, to fight against racism. We know it's racism in wrestling. We know that some wrestling companies have discriminatory practices and stuff like that. But we overcome that together. You know what I mean? Not only black people, you know what I'm saying? It's not just us that's coming against it. It's also white people, you know, people of many races that are becoming allies with us and fighting this racism within wrestling, because racism has no place in wrestling at all. So we're gonna be treated fairly in this business, and I'm gonna make sure of that.
Right, and I like how other, you know, even any companies like paying homage, like Black Wrestlers Matter right there. Shout out to them right there, and putting over a lot of black talent out there, and they basically set the trend right there, and I'm also doing the hashtag of Black Wrestling Excellence right there. That's another one also that need to be in every company, basically, both of them right there, and that's what they is basically trying, man, because I still remember when it was like not that many black wrestling talents in the 80s and early 90s and in the companies and stuff.
Right. And speaking of Black Wrestling Matter.
Right. Exactly.
So they have a show kind of coming up on Juneteenth, and I've actually been campaigning to get on the show. I started the hashtag Trey Shaw for Black Wrestlers Matter 2. And I've been trying to get on that show because the show is about showcasing, you know, young black wrestlers. And I feel as though that anybody, you know what I'm saying, I'm not going to say deserve, because, you know, you earn your opportunities and stuff like that. But if anybody could be on that show and showcase their talent and do what I'd love to do, which is inspire people, it would be me. You know what I mean? So I've tried to start a movement of sorts to get me booked on the show. It's not guaranteed to get me booked, but it'll definitely, you know, let them know that I'm very serious about this. You know what I mean? So
yes. And you have a couple of black, that's another, you know, black indie promotion out there also, and it's a couple others also, black promoters, indie promoters in the Midwest, and they right there, they definitely need more of the coverage they need right there. Basically, the media needs to give them more coverage right there, and I noticed that that's the problem with mainstream media, that they don't give black-owned businesses a lot of attention and stuff from the other establishments and stuff.
Right.
And I noticed that AEW is basically taking a lot of the Khan family is making it more equal opportunity for black talent and stuff. And they set the bar. They're not going to take no bigotry in that company at all, and they have it's a diverse company, and I just like it. Said it doesn't matter who is the world champion, what kind of race or anything.
Right. So it and being that they're a young company, I know that a lot of us as black people, we want to see more black champions and more black people in the main event. We have to give them time. You know what I mean? I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm pretty sure it's not going to take 30 years. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty sure it's not going to take 11 years and a whole movement for somebody to go to WrestleMania and finally win that WWE championship. Shout out to Kofi Kingston. I teared up when he won that WWE championship. But it should not take that long.
Right.
It should not take
and
that
I
long.
Just didn't like, right, I didn't like the way that they didn't get him, both of them to have a rematch with Brock Lesnar, and they just threw him out there like he was a preliminary guy, basically.
Yeah, I don't like talking about the Brock Lesnar situation. That really,
right.
You know, grinded my gears right there. I didn't like that at
right.
all. But there's
yeah.
nothing you can do about it.
Right. And I just want to see, like, even Big E also gets to that main event push also.
Yeah, definitely. Big E is that guy.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He's,
right.
He's that perfect blend of charisma and power.
Right.
And I like the fact that he doesn't change who he is. He doesn't want to be this stoic, you know, all serious type of guy. He's still fun-loving Big E, but he's a powerhouse at the end of the day. He's a brick wall.
Right. And I got so upset about when it was like when Mark Henry was could have been the WWE champion. He was the WCW champion, but that time when he fooled Cena about retirement right there,
mm-hmm.
that was the biggest pop ever right there, and I didn't like the way he was being booked with John Cena with the attitude adjustment, but I think that it was the attitude adjustment was so weak that he put on Henry that they could have had Henry kicked out three or four times from it, and
right.
that was his moment. They should have had him win the WWE champion and the WCW belt basically on both brands. Basically, they could have built him as an unstoppable force, and that's what they need to do with Lashley. I don't want to see him lose at Mania right there. I don't want to see the first ever black champion going into WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And because we already seen what Drew can do, and he, you know, Drew, they already misused Drew early this year. He already has jobbed out three times, and we don't want to see all of a sudden Lashley to be thrown out the door from Mania and stuff. I don't want to see that. That's going to be the worst thing right there. That's what keeping more viewership is the Bobby Lashley when he's in the ring or when MVP cutting a promo right there. That's what everybody wants to see right there. If they get rid of that, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow.
Right. Right. And I feel like we shouldn't have a reigns are typically short with black wrestlers. when it comes to, like, major championships. And I don't think that his reign should be short, as dominant as Bobby Lashley has been over the past few years, especially the past few months, how dominant he's been. I don't think he should have a short reign at all. It wouldn't make sense business-wise either.
Right. And even with this Peacock deal right there, they can I'm using this political thing basically because that's mostly the when you see the supposedly be the NBC basically it's supposedly for the minorities and stuff, and it wouldn't even look right for I think Lashley should have it for even have the title for a year basically. I just want to see that, you know, accomplished right there with no losses whatsoever right there. And he built, basically, and he built up new talent.
Right. And even with the network, it's not even, you know, like the minorities and stuff like that. It's, people call it a political thing, but it's not political. You know what I'm saying? My skin color is not political. The way I'm treated,
right,
is not political. It's not political at all. You know what I mean? It's about being human. You know what I mean? So it's like,
right,
treat me as your equal. And with a lot of people will say, oh, your gimmick is, you know, you're kind of a militant type, you know, Black Panther type dude. No, this is not a gimmick. This is who I am. Like, I'm very pro-Black. And, you know, pro-Black, usually they're like, oh, pro-Black means anti-white. No, pro-Black means that I am very for my people progressing, because for so many years they have not been able to progress. And that's a problem with our mindset along with the system that we were put in. You know what I mean? So when the argument about it being political, it's not political. It's about people's lives we're talking about here.
Right. And I noticed that I noticed that some of the established companies over the years had used that phrase and stuff. Even the WCWs of the past, and even the WWE right there have used it right there, and they just need. I still say they still need Black bookers in the WWE, and even creative writers right there that knows that could put their twist on letting wrestlers be who they are and everything and stuff. And it would be much, you know, much more done well right there, because they not going to let Triple H, you know, be in charge of the full booking like NXT and stuff, because he know he gets it right there, and he understands what all the trends are and everything, and all the cultures there and stuff, because they said that Vince McMahon is out of touch, being in his mid-70s, and they just need someone that understands what's going on in today's society.
Right. That's all. I mean, so understand what's going on and why this stuff is happening and what we can do to fix it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So when I come out to the ring, I always carry my Pan-African flag with me to let people know where I stand in right. this type of situation, that I'm not going to stand for racism and bigotry and all of this stuff. I'm always going to stand for unity and equality not only for our people, but for everybody. You know what I mean? So
right.
I'm definitely pro-black, pro-LGBT. You know, I have a lot of friends who are wrestlers, like Ashton Starr and AC Mack, and just recently Donnie Janela came out as pansexual. Like, I support all people. You know, no matter what color you are, your sexuality, I support everybody. You know what I mean? So it's definitely something that I'm very proud of, and it's something that I'll continue doing. I'll continue supporting these people, because without them, these promoters wouldn't have a company.
Right. Yeah, we definitely need more of that also, and even with the need more of, you know, headliners also, the main event basically, because I still say during that time when Sasha Banks was supposed to win over Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And right there, and that was, I got really mad about the results of it right there a few years ago, and I was saying, why can't a black women's wrestler win the world the women's world title right on the granddaddy stage of WrestleMania right there, and I still haven't seen that. I can see it with Beyonce Belair, but I think they should. I think that should close the show right there. But you know they're going to put it, emphasize more on Asuka and Ripley also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I definitely believe that Sasha and Bianca should be the main event for sure. But
right.
I know happy.
Right.
But
and I noticed that, she took a hiatus, but I think that she was still kind of frustrated right there that she wasn't on that they put Charlotte Flair over everybody basically. Yeah, Vince had this thing about blonde women basically wrestlers and stuff. Blonde white wrestlers getting over right there. And but I still think they people was saying nepotism and everything of her father Flair and everything. And it kind of put a dent right there. I still want to see, more black wrestlers on the main wrestlers and main main storylines instead of being, in the mid card.
Right. 100%.
Right. Because I've been, and I really like the Impact Wrestling Narcos division right there with Kiera Hogan. I've seen her grew as a wrestler since 18. She's been on the show also, and her and Tasha Steelz. Even though Tasha Steelz is also Puerto Rican, but
I like them as the women's tag champions of Impact Wrestling. They get the highest segment of any women also, and they good workers also. And,
right.
And I still trying to, you know, they got Jazz there. I want to still see more black women wrestlers like that show up there from the indies and stuff. I'm still pushing the Misha Rose or even a Willow Nightingale or even the Sing Chi also, just to show up at Impact Wrestling, basically to fill out right there.
Right. Definitely. I feel like all of the women's divisions, I feel like maybe NXT has one of the strongest women's division, and then Impact, then probably AEW. Yeah.
Yes. I know AEW is trying hard. Also, I still want to see more black women's wrestlers. Also.
I want to see my auntie Swole, Big Swole. I want to see her get that AEW Women's Championship. For
yes.
Sure. I've been waiting on that one for a while.
Yes. She definitely basically deserves it right there. She been, you know, through a whole lot basically from her, you know, injuries, coming back from that and stuff, and she ready to go to the next level right there, for the title right there.
Right. I'm ready to see it.
Yes. And hopefully they can sign more black women wrestlers this year. In the AEW.
Right.
Because I know,
yeah,
I understand that system right there with AEW Dog, and they end up signing maybe like, you know, they give them like, you know, a deserved contract, like maybe like three or four months, they finally make it official right there. I understand it definitely is a tough business right there, wrestling business. Yeah. And I think MLW took a break from the women's division right there, I guess because of they didn't have enough TV time, or I think they did, you know, they wasn't running shows during the pandemic, and they finally, it took them a while to, you know, to come back from the pandemic.
Right.
But if they can add that right to the show right there, because they got a lot of black wrestlers and women wrestlers in Florida also to add to that roster. And I just think they do a very good job of putting over a lot of ethnic groups. They already had, you know, their black world champions, black Latino, even now Jacob Fatu. He had the belt for 2 years now, and they have a new talent they signed, Calvin Tankman right there, and he's definitely in beast mode right there.
A lot of people tell me I look like Calvin Tankman. I'll be like, man. I'll be like, that might be my brother. Stop playing.
Yes, and he's right. And I compare him to like a, you know,
he has a style like a Bam Bam Bigelow type right there, and he doing he can do everything right there. Any type of wrestling, grapple. He can do high flying or anything right there.
Right. He's definitely an all-rounder.
Right. And I noticed that even AEW or WWE is probably watching MLW for those top two guys on there right there.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
It
absolutely amazing.
Right. They just definitely need to expand their I mean MLW doing it, but I see it in WWE and stuff, and I think the only thing with Vince right there, he don't want anyone going to the other companies right there and stuff. He signed all these wrestlers up from that, or even an MMA background of a football level and stuff combined with indies. And you rarely see them on TV. Basically, it felt like they got like almost over 200 guys on the contract.
Right. I'm trying to make that type of money.
Right. And I noticed that I was very shocked when they cut MJ Jenkins right there, and she, I thought she was going to go far in on NXT right there, and she has, you know, also the singing background to go with her. That's basically her right there as a heel character and stuff.
Right.
And she legitimately is a very good singer and wrestler, and that really hurt her when she got released right there, because she only was used for the tournament. I think was it the Mae Young tournament season two, and she wasn't used at all on television and stuff, and they even, you know, every time when they use a wrestler in catering thing on their programs like SmackDown, when they did like cruise that way and stuff, and I still say that that's kind of a offensive right there.
Right.
And Vince McMahon like to use shoot terms like that and cater like they don't have, like they nothing and stuff.
Right.
And it seemed like they kind of used the stereotype even with Nigeria and stuff, and they, instead of letting him be who he is like that, they should let him go by his real name on the indies and stuff, and you know, he don't really have to use the Nigerian accent and stuff.
But you know, Yuha Nation, they not ready for that. They're not ready for the whole Yuha Nation. You know what
right.
I'm saying? I don't think they're ready for it.
Yeah, and they're gonna have to open up because they got Amos also. He's a Nigerian also and stuff, and
mm-hmm.
But you know, in TNA, they use, you know, Moose basically. They use him in the right way right there, and you know, I think he's actually the first Nigerian America to be the world to hold the world title, the TNA world title.
Mm-hmm.
And they I like how they're using him. They protecting him right now and stuff. And you know they booked him with that. That was another accomplishment right there to see two black wrestlers wrestle for the unify both belts and stuff. That was they did a very good job of that right there, Rich Swann and him.
Right. They did a really good job.
Yes. When I seen the last, you know, Ring of Honor right there, they got so many black talent under contract and stuff. Even the faction also with Shane Taylor and Sons of Savagery and O'Shea Edwards and stuff. That's another also, yes.
Those are my guys.
Yeah, definitely. They all been on the show, and it felt like I've seen, it can be a black four horsemen group out here and stuff. I've seen it on the indies and stuff, we have a big indie company in Maryland Championship Wrestling. They have the Black Wall Street right there, and that was like they unified with all major titles in the company, and it just people wants to see that right there,
right.
If it can be like what the NBA and what boxing was, basically it was more integrated with it was more black fighters as world champions and stuff, heavyweight champions. And that's what wrestling should be right there. Because I don't like how they in the past, portray the black wrestlers as weak individuals when they against these supposedly the white elites and stuff. I didn't like that at all right there, and it kind of took a lot of black people from stop watching it right there once they see the way they was being used and booked right there.
Yeah. He definitely deserves to be booked better. If a company does not treat people the same way and how they should be treated, I would never work for them. You know what I'm saying? So best believe if there's a company that I work for, best believe they stand for the same thing I stand for.
Right. And I noticed that in AEW, everyone is, got smiles on their face and stuff, the talent. And recently, Paul Wright and Mira was basically having, they were talking basically about it on their show, one-on-one, about the changes between, the difference between AEW and WWE, and they feel like they part of the show. It doesn't matter of the outcome right there. They satisfied with, and everyone has a smile on their face in the locker rooms and everything, instead of being forced on for the product.
Right.
It's like it's more freedom, basically. It's more freedom and stuff.
It is. It is more freedom, for sure.
Right. Because I noticed that I think Big Show holds the record for the most heel faces since going to WWE for 20 years.
Yep, just bouncing back and forth from heel to face.
But I think that he, it was one time he was going to actually leave if Hogan would have signed with TNA earlier, right there. He would have signed, he would have been there for maybe a couple of years and went back.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it's a reverse now that, you know, that they're trying to find alternative work to leave WWE. It doesn't – they're not – because they already said what's the money. Like Andrade, he was saying that the money he made a lot from WWE, but he wants to be that big star, basically. He wants to be that main eventer right there.
Hmm.
And you know how they don't use a lot of luchadors and stuff. So he see what's going on with his boys in Ring of Honor, Rush and Dragon Lee, and he could be going there or AEW right there. It's because they got a working relationship with CMLL right there, Ring of Honor. He could be, you know, he'd be right there in the main event right there and getting over right there.
Yeah. Definitely Andrade deserves to be in the spotlight for sure. He is very, very talented.
Right. And I know how the backstage is with WWE when Paul Heyman got demoted again by Vince McMahon and Vince McMahon, you know, he threw away most of his talent back to the off of TV, most of them, or D-pushed them.
Right. Yeah.
And because it was some of them end up, you know, like Austin Theory, he wanted to go back to NXT and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Austin Theory is one of those rare talents, and I see him going a long way in this business, for sure.
Yes, but I see it happening right there, but I don't think Vince is going to give up the reins to Triple H or Shane McMahon and stuff right there.
Yeah.
Because I know that he's more old, he's still... I think he's still living in the 90s right there, mostly. He don't really want to do no what's going on in today's society and nothing like that.
Right.
But because they were saying wait 5 years, that Vince is going to be calling